So, talking about selection, we would recognize that we're bound to do some things wrong. The average schmo on the street that comes in and looks at this is going to do it wrong. And if I was to ask you what were the things that people are going to do wrong in selection, what would you say? If I were to ask you.
Hire based on whether or not they like the person?
Yeah, so we have this idea of bias, right? Bias is equals like, dislike, but many places, I'll just say, clouds your judgment. Long, long, long have I held that interviews are so incredibly biased that it's very difficult to get any useful information out of interviews, except how nice the person might be or whether they make good eye contact or whatever. So we have biases. What would be another reason that you would probably select wrong in many situations? You're trying to find a person, the right person for that particular job. So your biases might lead you to pick the wrong person. In other words, something not related to the job itself, but to your own particular proclivities, interests, likes and dislikes. What's the other half of what I just said? We're picking a person for a job. So what's the problem? What could lead to a mistake?
I guess if the hiring person, the employer doesn't necessarily know the job.
Doesn't know the job. That certainly makes sense. They think it happens to be a ping pong ball polisher, and it turns out it's a cement finisher. Consequently, they picked the wrong person for the job. Yeah. Feel free to take as many as you want. So what we're looking at here is a misunderstanding about what the job is and a misunderstanding about what you need and substituting in instead biases, what you like and what you don't like. So all of this would lead to the wrong person in the job. And because the wrong person is in the job, the company adds another layer of inefficiency onto its way of doing something, thereby delaying the goal, of course, out to here, 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 and here, which we all know represents opportunity, knock, 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 for the competition. Jared, are you here? Trey? Nick? Well, these are the 3:30 papers. What are they doing here? Why do I have these? Oh, here's some 2 o'clock. Jade? And Jared. Jade and Jared. Okay. So therefore, what we're looking for in the selection then is, of course, a complete understanding of the job through the job analysis, specifications, and the like, and the ability to match a person to that job. And how do we pick a person for a job? We use a blank blank. The first of the blanks is already written on the board.
Selection process.
Good, I like it better than test. A selection process.
Yes.
So we use a selection process, which is usually made up of several, numerous, let's just say several, tests. Now, when I use the word tests, I mean practically anything. Hand-eye coordination, IQ, application blanks, how your handshake feels. Shaking hands is something that we tend to, from a biased point of view, make a judgment about people. Do you think that's true? Because how would you judge somebody negatively? If their handshake was
a
dead fish.
Yeah.
We say a dead fish handshake, a handshake, because there's no grip. right? You have to grip a person's hand firmly and look them right in the eye and say, I'm pleased to meet you. Want to see pictures of my granddaughter? Oh, no. That's me. All right, so what we're looking at here is the idea of just these little social cues that we have to be careful about. And shaking hands, amongst other things, is just a good way to make a good impression, but of course it's just a dumb bias in reality. But it's one of those biases that exists. But we want to put together a selection process which can accurately determine which of our candidates is the right person. Now, we have a word for accuracy that we use in the selection process rather than the word itself, and that is the term valid. We want to create valid, V-A-L-I-D, valid selection tools. Valid means that it's an accurate predictor of future job performance. An accurate predictor of future job performance. Please note that a valid test will mark that a person will not be able to do the job, or that a person would be so-so with doing the job, or will be very good at doing the job, if it's a truly valid test. Okay. In order for a test to be valid, of course, it has to have components of the job in it. Even if it doesn't look like components of the job, it has mental capacity types of tests, or number types of things, or neatness types of things, or any other thing that is hidden in the test, such that the test can then be a valid predictor.
Could you not say that a handshake is a valid test for a salesman? Because part of that is being,
you know, that could well be true. Because if you're going to buy a car from somebody and they give you the dead fish, so to speak, you're going to think that you don't want the car. Of course, that's a reflection on your own misjudgments, because handshakes, I'm sure that the people that sell the most cars are two things. First, they have a great handshake, and then they probably lie like a rug. So that way, they're great car salesmen, right? So we're being fooled by the handshake. But of course, that's just the way we are. Good, solid handshake and a sincere look in a person's eye as you tell them that the car was owned by a little old lady that only ever drove it to church. And she never used the 720 horsepower available on the new Dodge Charger. That's actually true. 720 horsepower car. The new Charger. There's another one called the...
I think the Challenger is the one with 720.
They have them in both now, both the two-door and the four-door sedan, amazingly enough. And the four-door sedan is actually faster. It'll do 220 miles an hour, 202 miles an hour. So it was only ever driven by a little old lady to church, and she only used 20 of that 720 horsepower. But you believe him because he has a good, hearty hand clasp. Anyway, so we have these biases that creep in. We want to create a valid selection process. Okay, I need to bring in another term here. In order for our tests to be useful, they also have to be, ready for the second term, reliable. Reliable means consistent results. So every time I give it to a group of people, they get roughly the same score, or close to the same score. That would be a reliable test. So if I gave an IQ test over the class today, the score you got today should be about the same as the score you get 3 days from now. That would be a consistent test. What would be a typical consistent test of people? Just name something.
Personality
I think that would about be about the least reliable, frankly. But people will argue the MBTI is consistent, but I still...
They've done a study recently that says if you give it to them once and then have them take it again 2 weeks later, the chances that they change type is like over 50 or 60%.
When you say type, you mean MBTI?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the MBTI, and I used it in my dissertation, et cetera, but I don't trust it as far as I could throw it. It's a Myers-Briggs type inventory. You guys may have taken it. But what about something that's more obvious? Something like height. Is that going to be consistent? How tall are you today versus how tall are you in 2 or 3 days? Is it going to be the same?
All right. It depends. If they measure you in the morning one time and then they measure you at night.
With a micrometer, there might be a... How much difference do you think there is over the course
like
of
an inch and a half over the...
Get out of here, freaking inch and a half.
Space. They said if you go to space...
Space. All right. If a person went into space, I have to give it to you. If he went into space and you measured him in space, but how about if it's right here in this classroom?
I'm telling you what I read when I went to the doctor.
Okay, if it's...
I thought you were talking about going into space, not being space. No, I understand what you're saying. Lack of gravity is certainly going to make you taller, I would seem to me, especially if you're like spinning around and your head's going one way and your feet in the other direction. You're going to be really stretched out, whatever. But let's say it's in the same place each day. You come in and lie on a plank of wood and you get measured, or you stand against a wall and you get measured. Is it going to be the same? Sure, that's consistency, reliability. Okay, now we need to think about these two concepts, reliability and validity, in the same breath. If you have a test, that, let's say, that measures IQ, and on one day a person gets an 80, on the next day they get 120, and on the final day they get a 160, Is it consistent?
Yeah.
And which one would you use? You don't know which one to use. So you have...
Consistently increasing?
No, I just did that because that's the way I was thinking on a weak Thursday afternoon. But it could have gone any old which way. Who knows? I was thinking about height tests just now as we were chatting. My children used to love to measure how tall I was. They'd stand up against the wall, and they knew that my grandfather used to put a book on my head and one mark underneath the book, see, because he could see level. They thought that that meant that you would beat the victim on the top of the head with the book and then measure to make sure they were down low enough to where they should be, that they weren't up on their toes. They wanted to measure me every damn day. That was pretty tough. I'll tell you, that's what happened to everything. My hair, my brain. But it also, it was tough. Anyway, so we have this understanding that a test has to be consistent before we have a score that we can investigate for validity. Got it? So consistency and validity, or reliability and validity, are the two... psychometrics, which is the measurement of some capacity of the test. The psychometrics of the test, validity and reliability, have to be done in the correct order. First, we check to see whether the test is reliable. Once it's reliable, we can investigate to see whether or not it's actually
valid.
How about if a test is reliable? Is it necessarily valid?
Mm-hmm.
No, because I could measure you all day long and into next week, and you'd still measure 5 feet, 8.5 inches tall. So it's a nice reliable measure, but would it be a valid test toward your ability to be a doctor or to be a ditch digger or to be whatever? Probably not. So reliability needs to be established, but it isn't necessarily the only thing. Once it's reliable, then we check the validity. So let's talk about how these are checked, now that we sort of have the theory behind these. How would you check whether or not a test is reliable? Well, I've said give it once, then give it a second time, and maybe even give it a third time. But what would be the statistical relationship that you'd want to look at? So here are subjects, right? Subject at time one, subject at time two, subject at time three. And we have a score, and let's say it's height. So we have a height, 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 height. So this is subject A, this is subject B, this is subject A, B, C, and this is whatever, X. This is the same, H, A, H, B, H, C, H, X, dot, 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 dot. There might be 100 people here. And the same over here, H, A, B, C, X. Okay, so we have, let's say, 100 subjects here. And we have here their, whatever, height measurement, IQ measurement, whatever it might happen to be, some measurement, time A, time one, time two, and time three. So how would we investigate whether or not these this score is a consistent score? Using what statistical statistical methodology? Begins with a C? Second letter O? Vanna?
Correlation.
So we're going to correlate these scores to see if there's consistency, right, across these. And what we want is a strong consistency. In fact, it needs to be a consistency according to a 1960s statistical book, which hasn't been refuted as far as I know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 65, 0.65 correlation. I'm not going to ask you that, but you should know that it needs to be a reasonably strong correlation in order for it to be considered consistent. Okay. So this would be for reliability. Then let's look at validity. This is what's known as first concurrent validity. We'll talk about concurrent validity, but we won't spend too much time because the courts don't accept it. But you can sort of get an idea of what's happening. With concurrent validity, we would use employees. Which employees would we use? There's a hint up there. Our
current
employees. Indeed. Our current employees. So here's what we could do. Let's say we have a test that we think might be indicative of job performance. We could give them the test, right? Give test to an employees. P-L-O-E-S. To N employees, whatever the N happens to be. Now I have all those test scores, whatever it happens to be, IQ test, height test, hand-eye coordination, whatever the test might happen to be. And what would I like to compare that test score to? Because I wanted to see whether this test is a predictor of job performance.
Job evaluation?
It's exactly what you should say at this stage of our HR relationship. But job evaluation is the measurement of the nature of the job to the company. In other words, they break it down and look at it. But what you mean to say is job. Job performance, right? Or performance evaluation, for that matter. So we would take a look at the test and its relationship to job performance. don't feel bad, because that they do the same, they make the same mistake in the Wall Street Journal. They say somebody was fired because of their poor job evaluation. It's unbelievable to me. It's like saying, I drove my V2 rocket to school today. I mean, it's just, it's a non sequitur. You know, they don't go together. But in any case, I've seen it in the Wall Street Journal. So we're going to compare the test score to job performance. And here's what we would do. We'll look at this as validity. We would look at the subject and their job performance. This would be job performance here. So the test score, job performance, right? Test score, job performance, and we would do another correlation to see if there was a significant relationship between these two variables. We would like there, of course, to be a fill in the blank. We'd like there to be a blank relationship.
Strong relationship.
Yes, good, strong. I wasn't, thought maybe that might be too esoteric a blank. Yeah, a strong relationship between the test score and job performance. Now here's the part that's going to be, it's still even to me, a little bit weird. Maybe I can do this better. If you were, I'll draw it. I have to draw it. Agree, of course. And let's say these are test scores, and this is job performance. I'm going to put 20 ordered pair points up there, you know, XY points, right? And there's going to be no validity. What's it going to look like? Pardon? Random scatter of points, exactly. A random scatter of points. On the other hand, if there's a strong relationship between test score and job performance, what's it going to look like? Or this way too. Could be negative or positive, right? So you could have a, depending on the nature of the slope. What kind of negative indicator would you have? You check to see the number of fist fights a person had in their last job as a predictor. They had, in the 2 years that they worked there, they had 450 fist fights. What was their job performance, would you imagine?
Negative.
Negative, really bad. So that would be an example where they have a very high test score, i.e. number of fist fights, right? But their performance score would be low. Or the number of times they socked the supervisor. That would be another one, et cetera. So here we would have, you know, the scores would be negative. Number of times absent would probably leave them with a low performance as well. So what we're looking at here is a negative slope in that case, right? Just to be sure you understand that this relationship can be plus to minus. The minus does not have a negative connotation. Okay. Okay, we know then that we have then a random scatter of points for 20 of these, or 50, or however many we have, when there's no relationship between the test scores and job performance. Random scatter of points. Everybody with me? You're awake on this late Thursday afternoon, and getting later, I might add. We have basically this sort of sketchy point here. Let's look at this theoretically. If I were to segment this like this, this would be passing the test, right? Let's say it's a 75, whatever. Passing the test.
And up here, let's say that adequate job performance is at an 8 on a scale of 0 to 10. So an 8 is acceptable. Let me label the quadrants for you. This was done for me 35 years ago. All right. In looking at this, what do you see? Do you see why having an increasingly valid test is important to the company? Look at this picture here. Who have you hired? Everybody to the
top right.
They've hired everyone with a passing score. The test is not valid, so who have they gotten? Have they also hired? The people at the bottom, too. See what I'm saying? So if we were to label these 1, 2, 3, 4, which here are the inefficient quadrants? The quadrants that you don't want?
4
is rejected, and they would have been crappy, bad on the job. So that was a good call, right? Low score,
yeah.
Bad on the job. That's perfect. So which is the inefficient quadrant to that side?
Three.
Because
three.
You did not hire these people, and they would have been good performers. Everybody with me? So this is an inefficient quadrant, and down here you hired them and they couldn't do the job. That's an inefficient quadrant. Everybody follow me? So these are the bad quadrants here. And you want to get rid of those. And how do you get rid of those bad quadrants? This is all theoretical now. How do you get rid of them? By creating a test that's increasingly valid. And what happens? You take a circle and you squash it down to a square. No, not a square. To a star I can put on a refrigerator because it's gold. To a sort of a what? Huh? To a peace symbol. Yeah. The footprint of the American chicken. What?
An oval.
An oval's good. You're getting there. What's even better than an oval?
A line.
Oh, thank you. A line, right? Because that line is between the... Did you ever see the... What was it, those guys that wore, huh? Who were the guys that used to sing that YMCA song?
The Village People.
So now I'm thinking, did you ever see the video of that? It was just like what I was doing. I at the YMCA. Whatever. But it reminded me of that when I hold my arms up like this. It reminds me of that song. Okay, so we want to remove this invalidity and make it valid so that we get a useful test. That's the whole point here. A useful test for positive slope or negative slope, and we get rid of these inefficient quadrants. It would have us hiring people that we don't really want on the job and rejecting people that we do want on the job. Everybody follow this? This is a good thing to keep in your mind as you go into the process yourself of picking people for positions that you have to staff and this and that. Are you picking a person who is in one of the efficient quadrants? Picking them to get rid of them or picking them to keep, etc. So it's important then that we get these inefficiencies out. What do these inefficiencies do to goal achievement?
Slow it down.
Slow it down. Move it to the outside so we room for competition, etc., etc. These are bad. Okay, so therefore, as you can see, no matter what the test happens to be, we want it to be a valid predictor of future job performance. Tell me, how many of you have applied for a job and had to take tests for the job? And were you impressed with the test and how they were obviously going to be useful? When the guy says to you, for example, where do you see yourself in 10 years, young man? What kind of a crap question is that? Now, let me think how I can lie to best answer that question, right? It's just one of those stupid things they have you do. Did you get any of those?
No, we had to do the ones where
Oh, yeah, I've done that. Hate those things.
How could that possibly be valid? Don't you lie like a rug on that one, too?
Oh, yeah.
God, yes.
My
co-workers think that I'm a complete and unmitigated idiot.
The worst question is, like, when it asks you, like, such and such is having a bad day, like, what do you do? And I'm like, what are you supposed to
give them a huge wad of cash and send them home for the week. Anything to make somebody feel better. That's my goal. I don't want anybody to be unhappy. So we give them a lot of cash, never less than a couple grand, and then send them home for the week, or 2 weeks if he needs it. So what we're looking at here is a society as a whole that perpetually uses invalid testing process. I told you about this company that insisted on taking the candidates out for dinner if they put salt on their food first. They weren't going to hire them because it's obviously to indicate, without tasting it, if they salted their food without tasting it first, they were clearly impulsive, without thinking and following old ways or whatever. Jesus.
Maybe they can just never have the salt.
Yeah, hide the salt, whatever. But, I mean, there's all kinds of BS that goes on like this. We'll talk about some of these tests next time we're here, but they have things like the thematic apperception test. They show you a picture, and you're supposed to describe the picture, what you see. Oh, like the Rorschach ink blot, you know? So they take a bottle of ink and they dump some, then they smash the paper down on it, then they open it up and you tell them what you see. Right, I see a picture of a job applicant burying a hatchet into the head of the boss. Do I get the job?
Yes. Yeah, the person interviewing.
Right, hates the boss too. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, these things are just flat out dumb. Half the stuff that you're going to come across is just dumb, just unmitigatedly dumb. So what we're going to do the next time we're here is talk about various selection processes and discuss whether or not we feel interviews are incredibly invalid, terribly invalid, and terribly unreliable as well. All right, so I'll see you Tuesday when you will have done the practice test.
We bring it in.
If you want, we're going to go over the practice test. It's to your advantage to have done it. Am I going to collect it and grade it? No. It's all on your own. See you. Take care. Be careful. Yeah, you too.
Is the practice test going to be like a reflection of the actual test, or just to give us an idea of what to expect?
It looks exactly like it, and the questions cover the same material.
Okay.
So if you know those questions, there's a good chance you've covered the material and do well in test.
Okay.
But my point is, study for the practice test and see what you don't know.
Okay.